So I follow up with the actual use of the model in terms of coming up to the, with the reasonably good parameters to make simulation runs. And mainly I'm not going to talk about exactly how we arrived at the parameters, but more how to the test shows, okay. So first of all, to really do the parameterization testing, you really need a lot of different kinds of data. And many of these data are not easy to come by. So particularly the soil water content, the amount of irrigation, in many cases, it's very rough, and so on. But usually though, the biomass and the yield and the leaf area index are fairly easy to get. And so can be covered. Often we have to calculate from leaf area index with sort of a regression equation. But anyway, so most experiments do not provide the desirable, all the desired data, and we have to do some test different parts of it separately. So the parameter for plants, basically, which are widely applicable, that is, they shouldn't need to be changed for different conditions. So for the canopy, we have the these various parameters which you already described earlier, so I wouldn't go into the details again. And for the root system, the average deepening rate for optimum soil conditions, then for transpiration, the crop coefficients for full canopy transpiration, and the decline in the full canopy crop coefficient with time, there is a slight decline with aging of the canopy. Then, in terms of the production, normalized water productivity, as Pasquale Statuto already talked about quite a bit, then the reference harvest index. So for maize, we came up with these numbers for the parameters. And these are widely applicable. So, but the plant stress parameters, of course, also have to be done. And these, as Dirk already talked about quite a bit, we came up for the leaf expansion and stomata closure or canopy transpiration coefficient and the acceleration of canopy senescence, the stress effect on the harvest index. And for maize, the numbers we came up with are these. And the stress effect on harvest index is a little complicated to describe, so I'm not giving you the number right now. Then there's no stress effect on the water productivity. That is, we assume it stays constant. So now with this sort of thing, then you need to, for each location or each cropping season, each planting, you need, of course, all these parameters, which are site situation specific. But for the test I conducted, there were only with Davis, California data over six different years. So some of these factors were not variable because they are the same fields, basically, and the same irrigation techniques and so on. So only the highlighted parameters were variable from one set of data to another. So no change in other parameters. Only these parameters change from year to year, data set to data set. So way back in 1974, Edmundo Acevedo, at that time a PhD student in our department, did this experiment. So three irrigation treatments, irrigated, rain-fed, and in Davis, California, we have almost no rain during the growing season. So rain-fed is really growing water on growing on water stored in the soil. Then the third treatment is dry until day 55, then it was irrigated regularly. So look at first at the simulated results in canopy cover, and you can see between the irrigated and unirrigated treatment, the canopy cover difference is fairly well simulated. The early senescence of the canopy is fairly well simulated. Then as a result of this difference in canopy cover and also a little bit difference in stomata closure, you end up, of course, with difference in biomass production. And the biomass produced is under-simulated a little bit by the model compared to the measure value for the irrigated treatment, but for the unirrigated treatment, the simulation is almost exactly on the dot. Then for the late irrigation, that is irrigating from day 55 onward, again, the canopy decline is fairly well simulated, and the biomass production is very well simulated. So if you look at the final product, of course, that's the yield or total biomass. These are the measured values for these three different treatments of, I find this wire a real pain in the neck. That's why I like to use a presenter, but I was told not to. Okay, here's the irrigated, non-irrigated, irrigated 55 days onward. And these are the measured biomass, measured yield. And the simulated ones agree actually pretty well, except for the non-irrigated, which is about 15% or so off. We are really pretty happy with it. And you can see that what happens, the actual graphical display shows the frequent irrigation with the irrigated treatment and the late irrigation from 55 days onward and no irrigation. Okay. And there was a rain this period here, and you can see the soil water jumped up during the rainfall period, but that's about it. And you can see the canopy decline much earlier in the non-irrigated treatment. And also you can see that the canopy was a little bit smaller, slightly slower growth, so you have a small difference between the potential canopy size and the actual canopy size simulated. So now in the 1990 experiment, it's a quite a different treatment, namely we cut out the irrigation from 56 days onward, and the canopy cover is well simulated. The small, slightly early decline in the canopy cover in the late irrigation, the late drying treatment is not simulated too well, but it's reasonably good. Okay. And the biomass production couldn't be better for some reason. We don't necessarily fully understand, or sometimes the agreement is very good, and other times not so good. But you can see that the biomass, in terms of the yield, and as well as the total biomass produced at the end, are very well simulated. So, however, these are the good results. And 1 year, we couldn't make it work for some reason or another. And this, I illustrate that. So the well-irrigated, we simulated canopy cover very well. But for the non-irrigated treatment, we simulated way too early a decline in canopy cover compared to the measured one. And so it's really off the mark in this case. And of course, with the canopy cover simulated off the mark, you have also a the biomass production is very far off the mark. But again, for the well irrigated, you see the simulation worked very well. So in terms of the final production, then again, the biomass and the yields are those, but the simulated ones, the biomass isn't too far off with the non-irrigated, but the yield is way, way off. And the reason for that is because we didn't simulate the harvest index correctly, because the way too early senescence cuts off the increase in harvest index. So let me show you now. 1 year we didn't get good results, but then another year we got, again, the different treatments, well-irrigated control that can be well-simulated. And here there's an irrigation at this stage, and you can see the canopy cover effect, it seems to be well simulated here. And the biomass production then, in this year is also under-simulated, but not by too much. But for the late irrigation treatment, and you see at this point when the irrigation was applied, the biomass production began to increase again. So the overall then the effect it seemed to be very well simulated, except a slight under value of the simulated numbers. So again, in terms of the final biomass and the yield, there's a little bit over simulation for the irrigated treatment, which raises a question about the original data, because these, you can see that the individual harvests were actually simulated to be a little bit less, but the measured final biomass harvest is actually, the simulated is greater than the measured. So it, you know, it speaks of sampling errors and so on in experiments, where the final harvest sometimes takes a much larger area and the interval of harvest takes a small, perhaps smaller land area and so on. So they are sampling errors. So sometimes it's not necessarily the simulation problem, it's a matter of the actual, the experimental procedures and so on. So with this 94 data then, you see the very different irrigation scheduling, because here the irrigation was heavy irrigation at this point and cut off. Then at this point there was a light, relatively light irrigation, 20 some millimeters. And there was a rainfall event here and a small irrigation here. So you see a very different pattern of behavior as a result. But the overall simulation results is still fairly satisfactory. So if we compare the five different years we actually show the data, then you can see that most of the time the simulation results were pretty good. But for the two years here, and but the worst part is the simulation here, the yield is way off, because as I said, too early senescence cut off the increase in harvest index, so it went way off in this year. So obviously we don't have all the answers yet, but I do want to emphasize though that we simulated all these 5 years without changing any of the parameters except for the planting days, plant density, and the weather data and the starting soil water content and so on each year. So range of situations simulated over these 5 years with the same basic parameters with three different cultivars, didn't change anything for different cultivars. Planting days didn't vary too much, but it went from May 14th to June 16th. And timing to maturity, some cultivars are shorter, so it's 118 days, the others are 138 days, and some in between 134 and so on. And substantial range of evaporative demand conditions. Notice in this case we simulated for the Davis data, but because we planted rather late, so there's generally a decline in reference ET over the season. But also the contrast between the 1974-1990 data was a really quite a large contrast in reference ET. But if you remember, both these years the data simulated very well. And we didn't do anything except just put in the reference ET for those 2 years. And that was it. Okay. And later you see from Dr. Hand's presentation for the simulation of Texas results, they have a very different pattern of reference ET, but yet the simulated results seem to work fairly well. So then we have, of course, very different varieties of irrigation or watering regimes. We have the rain-fed, no irrigation in the first half of the season, no irrigation in the last half of the season, limited irrigation in the middle of the season, and fully irrigated. So overall then, without changing any of the basic parameters, we were able to simulate, four out of 5 years very well for the non-irrigated treatment, And for the irrigated treatment, we basically simulate it every year pretty well. So with that in mind, then I just want to point out, as Pasquale already pointed out, and also Dirk Ray pointed out, that it's a crop still in the model still in development. However, it seemed to be far enough along to distribute for potential collaborators for testing. Yes, every year it was changed according to Mauna Loa's CO2 concentration values. So the reference year was 2000, we used 33, the water productivity. Then for the early years was 74 was 31.8 or something like that. I'm sorry, I didn't totally follow.
We tried this model in very extreme conditions.
Under very dry.
We haven't, I mean, not in my work, but Dr. Li Han is going to show the simulation of Florida condition where there's a very frequent rainfall and things like this, yes. So the next speaker.
Joe, I think one more question.
It's another soil question, but how deep?
The Davis R soil profile goes 4, 5, 6 meters, but the rooting depth is in all of these maize was about 2.7 to 2.9 meters at the end.
Was it the same field?
It's essentially the same field, but we had a 50-acre field, and it moved around each year because we didn't want to grow the same crop, same field. Yes, there was slight difference in soil characteristics, which we didn't really change. But what we did have to sometimes adjust the starting soil moisture content, which often we didn't have detailed data at the planting time, because you tend to put in the neutron probe after crop comes up. So we had to make some backward adjustment.
We have time for another question.
Well, we did change the maturity date because, you know, some cultivars are longer season than others. And Dr. Heng is going to show Texas data of a special short season cultivar as well as long, the normal cultivar.
So no permutation for
the differences? We didn't detect anything worth mentioning. For instance, if you say some of the short season cultivar has fewer leaves, they may start flowering earlier, but in our cultivars, we use those three.
Well, consider cannabis selection as a green index, and then to calculate the productivity, I believe that it's very important to realize the difference between cultivars.
Not in our opinion. That is, once you have a full canopy, or 70% canopy, whatever it is, and it's good green and high nutritional water status, it has same productivity. I'm not saying the genetic engineer is not going to be able to improve on that. It's one of those things that's extremely difficult to improve. History has shown that. But of course, the whole genomics, molecular biology approach is based on that idea we can change it. And I think we will be able to change it, but probably 50 years down the line.
Thanks, yeah. Okay, we'll have to hold off.